Today, with so much uncertainty in our lives, it's understandable to feel stressed, anxious, worried, or frustrated. It's normal. But it's easy to check your stress and get help for your mental health with free resources from CalHope. Make a game plan by calling our warm line at 833-317-4673 or try our secure and confidential live chat today at calhope.org. CalHope, proud partner of the San Jose Sharks.
He scores! William Eklund caps an astounding comeback! The Sharks win it!
You're listening to Morning Tide on the Sharks Audio Network.
Score! Fabian Zetterlund on a one-time pass. Cooks the defense as a kid. Dick shoots. Shoot! Score! A spectacular rush from end to end by Mikael Granlund.
Now, here's your host, Ted Ramey.
Canes keep it in. 25 seconds to go. This is no time to give up a high-quality scoring chance. But Aho will try to do that. He sends it over to Walker.
In front by himself, Nietzsche's point-blank save by Vanacek. An amazing stop against one of the top scorers in the NHL. 10 seconds to go in the period. Gustav Spear the shot. Glove save made by Vanacek. And that's a couple of saves that's going to lift the morale of the bench of the visiting team right there. Here comes a shot by Chatfield wide. Rebound. Robinson behind the net. Jarvis centers in front. Trouble! A big stop by Vanacek. Somehow he got the pad on it. But now they score! On the rebound of a great save, it came all the way back to the right point. And Jalen Chatfield is able to just drop it to the net and get it through. And the Hurricanes lead 3-2 with 2:39 to play.
Honestly, I thought we played a pretty good hockey game, and there was a couple plays here and there that you wish we managed a little bit better and got a little bit more on the attack and went and tried to win the hockey game. I thought we got on our heels a little bit. Obviously, they tie the game up. But there's plays, you know, both ways that, you know, usually determine the game, and that's what happened tonight.
All right, good morning, everybody. How are we all doing? That was a quote from head coach Ryan Warsawski bringing us in. And I think that is one of the takeaways that people need to pay attention to after last night's game, because the Sharks played a good hockey game. They played a very good team that no one is going to be surprised with if they are one of the final four teams standing. And obviously, this is a playoff team in the East, even if Carolina has not been playing their best hockey as of late. But for the San Jose Sharks on this road trip to go out and beat Seattle and go out and beat Washington and go 3-1 against Florida, and go 3-2 against Carolina. And yes, they got blown out in Tampa, but the Sharks are not a good matchup for Tampa right now, a team that is the only team in recent memory in NHL history to have won multiple cups back-to-back. You know, this is a very good team, right? Like, the Sharks are taking on a very, very good team, and they're not getting demolished. In fact, they had a lead on the road in the third period, and I am looking at this overall as progress. And again, if I told you that heading into the final game of this six-game road trip, which includes a back-to-back and four East Coast heavy hitters in Washington, Tampa, Florida, and Carolina, if I told you that heading into the final game they would have a chance to go 3-3, yeah, you'd be pretty happy with that. You'd be pretty darn pleased. And I think that overall, the San Jose Sharks are at a point where they can say, okay, we need to take away positives from this game. Not negatives, not woe is me, not I can't believe we didn't win this game. They need to look at this and say, Vitek Vanacek, for the first time since he suffered his injury a couple of weeks ago, looked like the Vitek Vanacek that he was before that injury. That is a positive. Luke Cunnan finally seems to be looking like the player that he was before he suffered that big knee injury 2 years ago. Obviously, it takes a while to come back from injuries. Everybody's different. Just because you are healthy enough to play does not mean you are the exact same athlete that you were before that injury. That is a big-time positive. Luke Cunnan keeps on finding ways to contribute offensively. Macklin Celebrini had trouble in the game against Tampa, but then in the following games against Florida and against Carolina, he has found ways to use his game, to use his stick handling ability, to use his passing, to use his vision in different ways than he'd been able to do against not the top teams in the league and make himself impactful and a point getter in the NHL. That is a positive sign. And again, I'm not just trying to blow smoke at you and tell you that, oh, everything's fine. It doesn't matter whether or not the Sharks won or lost. No, of course it matters. But these are productive, good things that the Sharks are taking out of these games, especially in light of the fact that they just lost their number one netminder, and that has the potential to be relatively deflating to the guys. And I think that instead of being deflated, they came out with a lot of piss and vinegar last night. You know, Mario Ferraro may have taken a penalty at a bad time, but he's the guy pushing back, and he's got the A on his sweater. And I know people are saying that he can't take that penalty at that time, but I also think that was kind of symbolic for the Sharks and where they are right now. Like, you can't push us around. We're not the team that we were a year ago, and I loved it. I loved seeing Mario Ferraro be that kind of a dude who just stands up in the moment and is not going to take any crap anymore. Probably wasn't the best time penalty in the world. I'll acknowledge that. But I do think that there's a time and a place, and sometimes you do have to draw a line. And I think it's pretty unfortunate that the NHL always, just like the NFL does, it's the exact same way with the NBA, that it's always the person who retaliates who seems to get the, get the flag or get the penalty or get the foul, whatever it's going to be. But, I didn't hate it. I didn't hate that Mario Ferraro in that instant was willing to step up and was willing to push back, because I think the Sharks previously did not have any pushback. And when you watch the literal symbolism of that happening, I thought it was pretty cool. I'll admit, I know not everybody loved it, but I liked it a lot. But for the San Jose Sharks and where they are right now, being able to have pushback in these games, being able to go down against a team like Carolina 5 minutes into the game and think to yourself, uh-oh, well, that was the plan. We didn't want to go behind this early in the game, and we did. Well, okay, what did they do in light of that? They found their ability to get back into the game. They went down, again, 4:26 into the game, and they're down 1-0. It's like, okay, let's see how they respond to that. Instead, they pushed back. They went back and forth. It was a bit of a stalemate of a period, but then they got another late period goal from Luke Cunnan, you know, assisted by Celebrini and CeCe. That made it 1-1. That is a big moment for San Jose, not to let them get into a multi-goal deficit, not to let the game get away from them. They make it 1-1. In the second period, they get the eighth goal of the year from Luke Cunnan. William Eklund, who had been benched at the end of the first period, he and Fabian Zetterlund, you know, for not playing well. Ryan Warsawski, by the way, I love this. He's not sending some long-term message. He sits guys down for a bit at the end of a period and then puts it back out there and says, hey, prove it. Prove it to me that you can be capable out there of going and performing on the ice. So yeah, he does that, and he gets a very high-level performance from the rest of the game out of both, in my opinion, William Eklund and Fabian Zetterlund. So that was an immediate response that he got from his guys. And the Sharks are able to come back and get a 2-1 lead. You know, in the third period, you look at Brent Burns, Sebastian Aho, and Martin Necas coming through with the goal for them. I mean, those are three names that are going to be hard to stop in any situation. So not that that is the be-all, end-all of, oh, well, they're that good, so they're going to score the goal. But, you know, if those three names are combining on a goal, that's probably something that's going to plan for the Carolina Hurricanes. And then Chatfield gets an unassisted goal at the end. I didn't love the first goal. I thought that was a situation where the Sharks should have been able to, just defend better. They were kind of caught watching the puck. Guys missed their marks. They left a lane open on the outside for a good shot. The final one, it's a clearance that they've got to do better and get it out of there. We've seen all throughout this road trip that failed clearances have led to goals for the opposition. And these are the things that you watch with San Jose. There are fundamental things that are going to come back and bite you in the NHL. And right now, if you fail at some of those fundamentals, like getting a clearance when you need it, like finding the, you know, man on the blue line to get your zone entry, if you turn the puck over in the neutral zone, if you turn the puck over at your own blue line, you're going to pay for it. And the Sharks paid for it in this instance. So these are learning moments for San Jose. It's frustrating that they did not walk away with a point out of this game, because I thought they played well enough to earn a point out of this. But just think about the way the discussion has changed, even from the 0-7-2 start to the season. I mean, these are the things that I ultimately try to take away as a positive, because I feel that they are playing that much better, that they are giving themselves that much more of a chance in every single game they play. Are they a team that has the potential to get blown up every once in a while, like they did against Tampa, like they did against Winnipeg, like they did against Vegas? Yeah, it's still in their game. It's still a little bit there. However, they've also kind of gone off on a couple of teams. Like, they got 8 goals against Seattle. And yes, they gave up 5 in that game, but the Seattle's not coming to them and be like, hey guys, we scored 5 goals. Like, no, They scored 8 goals against Seattle. Seattle's not thinking about the 5 they scored. They're thinking, eesh, we gave up 8 goals to the Sharks? Because the Sharks can play. Because the Sharks are better. Because the Sharks are more than they were previously in this league. And you're watching guys like Macklin Celebrini lead the charge. It's fun to watch. It's exciting. The vast majority of Sharks hockey these days is an entertaining, fun product that I think people are excited to watch. And that, my friends, is progress. It's much more than where San Jose was roughly a year ago. It's much more than where they were at the start of the year. It's much more than they were 2 years ago. And I think that even though you do have trades where they are still giving away talent, which they're not giving them away. They're obviously getting assets and players back. And Kovalenko, you know, playing on essentially no rest, getting in today after traveling, I thought he looked okay. You know, they didn't throw too much at him. They told him to go out there and play. Yeah, the guy was ready. You know, Georgiev was there backing up. I mean, these guys are in a new situation. I think Georgiev's going to want to prove himself. I think that Kovalenko's going to want to prove himself. You know, I think that the Sharks goalkeeping coach, Thomas Spear, has the ability to really turn things around with guys. And, you know, let's just see what happens. Let's just see where the Sharks go from here. Because I think that, you know, for some people, they looked at the trade of Blackwood and they felt, you know, you can't do this. And I was a little bummed just because he's such a good player, and B, such an all-around great guy. I mean, he was always chatting it up with me. He went out of his way to engage me in post games and locker rooms. You know, he was just a solid dude. And I think that when you lose a solid guy from your dressing room, from your team, you know, there can be more than just the impact on the ice. But, you know, let's see where the Sharks go from here. I think this is a lot of fun potentially, and I'm excited for what comes next. I do have some of an interview with the hockey guy that I did yesterday that I would like to share with you all on this episode. So I wanted to get into some of the post-game reaction before we run out of time. So head coach Ryan Warsofsky overall had a pretty positive view on this game. Let's get into some of his reactions. Warsofsky was asked about the turning point of this game.
Always, you know, don't manage the puck there in the third period. We give the momentum, obviously, the tying goal and then the game-winning goal.
And I think that is a fair criticism, and it's something that he's talked a lot about as of late. Those are one of those fundamental areas that I pointed out where San Jose is not yet of the ability where they can always, you know, find the fundamentally correct play, like managing the puck, like getting the zone clear, like finding their way, you know, through the neutral zone cleanly and finding their zone entry. I mean, these are still the little things that San Jose is not 100% on all the time. You have to learn, though, through a process of failure if you want to get to that level. That's unfortunately where San Jose is right now. They're still figuring it out. They're still figuring how to be that high-quality, better team. And I think, unfortunately, it's still going to take a little bit of time. But during that time, they can give themselves an opportunity to perform that much better. Warsofsky was also asked about Vitek Vanacek, who had 25 saves, 3 goals against, but in no way do I look at this game and say, that is on Vitek Vanacek. Ryan Warsofsky agreed.
Yeah, I thought he was good tonight. He's tracking pucks well. Gave us a chance to win a hockey game.
And again, what you're looking for from goalies in today's game for San Jose, not today's game, as obviously it was last night, but I mean today's NHL, is you do not need everyone to be Patrick Waugh on every day. You don't need them to go out there and win you every single game. It's nice when they do, but I think that you have to look at games where you're looking at a back and forth, when you're looking at a tight performance. What do you need from your team? What do you need from your goalie? You need them to give you a chance to win, just like you need your defensemen to give you a chance to win, just like you need your forwards to give you a chance to win. You don't need to go out there and have individual players and individual units and individual lines win you the game. It's great when they do. I'm not going to turn it away, but you would like to think that the collective, the overall, is what allows you to get the win. And so for San Jose, you know, Vitek Vanacek gave them a chance to win in conjunction with the rest of the team. Now, Vitek Vanacek had been a little bit rocky since he had come back from injury, which, yeah, your flow gets disrupted. That can happen. I looked at the game in Tampa. There were a lot of tip goals early on. The Sharks were also remarkably flat in that first period. So, I'm sure that he would say, hey, the goals are on me, because that's how goalies are. But, you know, I liked the way that he performed. I liked the way that he was able to, you know, give himself the opportunity to win a game, to lift his team, especially after another goalie was just traded. So for VTech, that's a big game. That's a big performance, and I'm excited to see more out of him. Orzo was also asked about Luke Cunnin and his performance. He gives an answer with a follow-up question you'll hear from Sheng Pang, and I really think this just speaks to where Luke Cunnin's game is right now and the way that he's, you know, come back from a big-time injury.
Yeah, I think he's been solid. I think he's skating more. He, obviously, coming back from the injury, had a full summer to train. So we're seeing a guy that's skating more first and foremost. He gets to the inside of the ice, kind of a heart and soul of our team, really. He plays, gives you everything he's got. And, you know, to get rewarded with two goals is nice.
You mentioned that kind of extra step that Luke's got this year. Is this kind of the Luke Cunnin that you guys kind of expected when you guys traded for him a couple years ago? I know he's had some injuries.
Yeah. No, I think, for sure. You know, obviously a couple years ago when he came in, thought he had a good start, and then the injury hits, and it's obviously a tough rehab from that type of injury. So, he's been pretty consistent.
And I have to imagine it is pretty satisfying for Luke Cunnin as well, because these are situations where you get injured, you're not able to be quite the player you were. You don't know if you'll ever get back there. And now it feels like he is back to being that player. So it's exciting for him. It's exciting for San Jose because his offensive contributions, in addition to his overall game, and like Ryan Warsawski alluded to, being a heart and soul of what they're trying to embody, I think it's big. I think that's important to what San Jose is trying to do here. And to see him come back into his own, it's a positive step, because guys earn these opportunities to get back to being the player they want and expect to be. Orzo was also asked about the third period and maybe what they need to do better in those situations. But, you know, even before he got to the answer, I was thinking, you know what? I think the Sharks were, you know, there in this game, got beaten by a better opponent. I don't think that that's exactly what Ryan Warsawski was saying, but I think he was along those lines. Listen.
Honestly, I thought we played a pretty good hockey game, and there was a couple plays here and there that you wish we managed a little bit better and got a little bit more on the attack and went and tried to win the hockey game. I thought we got on our heels a little bit. Obviously, they tie the game up. But there's plays, you know, both ways that, you know, usually determine the game, and that's what happened tonight.
Orzo was also asked about Kovalenko.
Yeah, I thought he was good. Obviously, a tough day of travel. Go back and look at the film and some things he's got to improve on and get up to speed with our systems and the way we play. But obviously, you know, there's some things, you know, puck decisions he's got to continue to learn as a young player, but there's obviously some tools there.
I don't know what people were expecting out of Kovalenko or hoping to see out of Kovalenko, but overall I saw a player that wanted to be out there, looked like he was working hard for San Jose, and I think that's the most important aspect of, you know, he's in a tough situation, like Warsawski alluded to, a long day of travel. He was able to go out there and try and help his team win, didn't play a ton, but obviously he was willing to go out there and give it a shot. And I think that for a first game in a tough environment, that's really all you can ask. And a question on why William Eklund and Fabian Zetterlund were benched and what he needed to see from them and if he saw that. Some back and forth with Shang.
What was the message to William and Fabian after sitting them out for the second half of the first period?
They need to be better.
Did you see a better from them? William was obviously a big part of Luke's.
Yeah, they got better. Again, these two young players that are still very early in their NHL careers, and they're learning how to play and compete at the highest level against the best teams in the league. Carolina, Florida, Tampa, how heavy it is, how you have to stick your nose in there, and we need to continue to grow those parts of their games.
So nothing wild in that response from Ryan Warsawski, just pushing a button when he had to and getting a response. All right, as promised, I did talk with the hockey guy of YouTube fame, and we started out talking about the Blackwood trade. I asked him his thoughts.
So Georgiev's numbers were starting to get better in Colorado, but obviously they need to win now. So Blackwood is playing better than Georgiev, but with Georgiev being out of Denver, it's possible, like, I know Georgiev can be a very good goaltender. I loved him in New York. Mm-hmm. And there's been points where I've thought he's really good in Colorado as well. I would expect that he'll play some games for San Jose, and if he plays well, that boosts his value. Since he's a pending unrestricted free agent, I'd be very surprised if Mike Greer doesn't flip him at the deadline as a rental.
What about Kovalenko coming over to San Jose?
Kovalenko, he's talented enough that I think he'll probably get a look at some top 6 minutes here and there, especially with Will Smith being out of the lineup. I think he'll get a chance to play up the lineup a bit. Definitely get more ice time than what he was getting in Colorado. He's only 25 years of age. I think there's some potential there for top six upside.
Do you think that with Mackenzie Blackwood going to Colorado now, do you think that the powers that be with Canada are going to see him a little bit more often in high-profile games and say, uh-oh, maybe we should have included him on the Four Nations roster?
I do think that him playing in San Jose probably caused him to not be on the radar with some of the other goaltenders. The other thing too is when they're picking rosters for a tournament like this, there are always going to be players that you go, well, why? And it might be that somebody who's making these choices, like, I really like this guy. I know the stats don't back it up. And it's been a debate with Canadian teams going way, way back. And I do think that if one of the three goalies can't go for Canada, Blackwood has a very good chance of being the next guy included.
It'll be very interesting to see if that goes down. Here's the other question I have about this trade for San Jose. They start off 0-7-2. We're making comparisons to last year because they started off with 11 straights without a win last year. But since that point, they've been very respectable and getting points in the majority of their games and playing some, if not good hockey, I would say some exciting hockey. I would think that's the difference between last year and this year is that with Macklin Celebrini and Will Smith and Tyler Toffoli, and there's been exciting and things that give you a hope for the future. So that's where I think it gets interesting because essentially by them pulling themselves up out of that bad start, they've now been rewarded by losing their number one goalie. And I'm just wondering, do you think there's any deflation that happens with the Sharks on the team of saying, oh, we worked this hard to now go down in our overall ability? Or is it just, hey, we're pros, this is part of the business?
I think most of them understand that even with the improved play, they're not really in the playoff picture right now. So moves like this are probably going to be expected. Just like other veterans are probably going to get moved between now and the deadline and at the deadline. I mean, it's like, Anaheim picks up Trouba, and one of the first things I see is, so how long is he going to be there? Is Anaheim going to flip him? So there's definitely when it's a team that's in the midst of a rebuild, I think this is kind of an expected thing. But I do think Georgiev's value could get built up playing in San Jose because he won't have the pressure that he's had in Colorado. I don't know that, like, the way that the playoffs went for Colorado and the fact that there was so much that was dumped at Georgiev's basically doorstep for how they got eliminated, he just never quite seemed to be himself. So a move to San Jose could benefit him a lot. And I think that for like Celebrini, Toffoli, and these guys, they'll still play well. And there's always Askarov in the AHL if the goaltending goes south. And Askarov looked pretty darn good when he got called up.
What have you thought of Ryan Warsowski's San Jose Sharks up to this point of the season?
They're fun to watch. I have been saying all season, even when they were losing, even when they started in that winless streak, I kept saying, this is not as bad as last year. This team is not as bad as last year's Sharks. This is a better team. It's a younger team. They're faster. They're more fun to watch. And so I'm glad their record has improved since then because it kind of bears out what I was seeing. A fun team with no pressure. And that can be a nightmare for a team that's like dealing with things like what the Rangers are dealing with. That game last night, Chicago has no pressure, no expectations. So they can go out, just play their game, and the Rangers tighten up. So San Jose can take advantage of those kinds of games as well. And I think that's what we've been seeing from them lately. I would expect that to continue.
Are you surprised? Excuse me. Are you surprised with how good Macklin Celebrini has been? Because I think part of the narrative when the Sharks got the number one overall pick last year was that it wasn't Connor Bedard. But then I think everybody's watched Macklin Celebrini up to this point of the season and said, oh, wait a minute. This is a legit game-changing superstar potential player.
I think that the comparisons between number one draft picks before the draft can be kind of perilous. But like the comparison I would use too is, so if Bedard goes on to have a career like McDavid, if he gets out of the doldrums he's been in and he produces like McDavid, what if Macklin Celebrini plays like a Jack Hughes or a Kaprizov? So you're still getting a superstar player and a guy who can be a game changer. I think sometimes it can be kind of early to make the comparisons one up, but Celebrini, yeah, the kid's a star, and he does to me kind of remind me of Jack Hughes, and he's hitting earlier than Hughes. Hughes struggled when he came in. Celebrini is not.
No, that's the fun part, is he hit the ground running. Yep. And I often think about, you know, his dad was a former professional athlete playing for Team Canada back in the day, and, you know, working with professional athletes, whether it be with the Vancouver Whitecaps or the Golden State Warriors. You know, it's, he was around. I mean, he's got Draymond Green in his corner. I just have to think that exposure, that's probably a wild card factor that, you know, some, you know, we can talk about Tkachuks and growing up around professional athletes, but I think the trainer aspect of the dad for Celebrini kind of put him with a unique perspective.
Yes. And it is a perspective that I've always been interested in. Like, I know when I first started going to hockey games, I would watch like Ice Crew stuff. I would watch like the stuff that isn't necessarily noticeable. I'd notice which players talk to the referees the most and go, okay, so are they're building that rapport? Do they already have that rapport? Is that with the idea that, you know, when a penalty's called, you're able to talk to the guy? Like, there's little things in the game that I notice. So for Celebrini growing up in that, he would know a lot of the ins and outs just of sports in general. And then with hockey growing up with that too, it does give him a leg up on some of the other prospects.
We're hearing that Will Smith is injured right now and could be heading to the IR, but it took him a little bit of time to get rolling, but, you know, he settled in. But before that, there was something that I thought was really fascinating, because Macklin comes in game one, gets a goal and an assist, and then is hurt and misses the next, I believe, 12 games. Then at that same time period, Will Smith is dealing with the Sharks and their 0-7-2 starts and challenges of not, I mean, the offense changed without Macklin. There's no doubt about that. And so you had Sharks fans in the hockey world right here going, they saw Macklin as perfect. They saw one game, 2 points, a goal and an assist, perfection. Whereas Will Smith was out there with the rest of the Sharks struggling. And it seemed like that made everyone judge Will Smith that much more harshly. And then lo and behold, he comes up with a 2-goal game, gets rolling, and now has been starting to look like an NHL player and a very talented one at that. So I was just curious for your thoughts on that comparison right off the bat for him. And then also just the fact that he, prior to this injury, had settled in and was consistently producing.
Smith definitely had been struggling early in the season. I had concerns about whether or not he was 100% ready for NHL duty too. And I thought, you know, as the scoreless drought piled up, I was worried that maybe it was going to do more damage having him up rather than not. But yeah, he played through it. He's played really, really well. Hopefully he's not out that long, because he really was starting to get into the groove. The confidence was showing. There was a little more flair to his game. Will Smith is, you know, one of those players who we may look back on and say, well, he was a star that first year. His rookie year got kind of rough, but not every player who comes into the NHL, there's Hall of Famers that their first couple years in the NHL were nothing to write home about. So yeah, Will Smith was trending in the right direction. It is tough to get back into the swing of things coming out of an injury. The good news being that with the Sharks, they do need that top six talent that he has that potential for. So he should get plenty of opportunity when he's good to come back.
When you're watching the way that things have been trending for the Sharks rebuild, because most people view the teardown kind of finishing with the Tomas Hertl trade, and then that's when the true rebuild began. Well, what do you view in terms of where this team is right now? Because I always said best case scenario, 35 win team this year. And I, you know, again, I know that's not a high bar to clear, but I said that's best case scenario. But what do you view in terms of their timeline and how Mike Greer's been going about his business?
I think that there's definitely some promising signs there. They don't have bad contracts. They don't have any lingering questions about veteran players who might get traded out. These guys are clearly having fun playing right now. And they showed over the summer that they can get free agents to sign there. San Jose is still a place players want to play. So that definitely makes it easier to get out of the rebuild. I think Greer's done a good job. I've seen criticism of some of his trades, which is fair, but I think he's had the right vision since they officially declared they were going the rebuild route. I think he's done quite a good job, and they built that foundation. And then over the next couple of years, it's about building it up to to playoff level. And that's where teams in the East like Buffalo, Detroit, Ottawa will tell you that's where it gets a little bit tougher.
All right, to check out the entirety of that interview, look at yesterday's version of the build-up game 31 at Carolina. We are out of time. For the San Jose Sharks, I'm Ted Ramey, signing off.
This podcast can be found on demand anytime on the Sharks Plus SAP Center app. All music by Yogi Yend.